numbers told the story they always do.
He's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, Baton Rouge, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM Nevada. Gil Alexander, Matt Santos, in for Kelly Bidlin. Kelly Bidlin, enjoying a wedding. I hope he's enjoying it in North Carolina. Still to come this hour, Spanky joins us in studio, the creator of Spank Odds and Bet Bash, among other things that he does in his betting life. Also has his podcast, which we'll talk about. Does so many things. Chris Felica, the Bear, standing by here momentarily. We get tweets at Beating the Book. I just want to shout out everybody. People are super kind about the Megapod and guessing lines this year on the Beating the Book podcast. Just, first of all, guessing lines with Chrissy, just as enjoyable and as fun as, and as, you know, great an exercise as it always has been on Mondays. Just love being with Chrissy every Monday morning. And then the Megapod this year, the response to the Megapod has been wonderful. This is from Sly Bry. DJ Sly Bry says, if you aren't listening to Gil and the Crew, that's Todd Wishnev and Jeff Parles. This week, the rotating guest was Adam Chernoff. If you aren't listening to Gil and the Crew, you're lost. Top-notch content every single week for a decade, for over a decade. Really appreciate that. This is also from, we get a whole bunch of these, the Bookie Reaper. He said, finally about to fire the Megapod up now, my man. Since inception, the Megapod has been my favorite NFL betting show, hands down. Keep killing the game, fellas. The Todd from his mom's cork attic line gets me every time. And there's a bunch of those, and I really appreciate it. This is from, this one is from, want to get this right, so I give it to the right person. Asian Lebowski says, where can I find a, quote, will an evil henchman break the opposing manager's legs during extra time prop, Paul Carr? Where is that available? This is from A. Brown at ALB underscore ATC. Yes, more losers pool, dog. Everyone's on New England in the losers pool, and I'm trying to look elsewhere. Do the Saints have much of a drop-off? By the way, it's Andy Dalton now and not Jameis Winston going for the Saints, in case you missed it, in London early on Sunday morning. London travels, it has a funky feel, like it's stay away. How about KC? Brady off a loss and the playing in Tampa after Hurricane. If we start talking about the losers pool too much, though, it just, your brain goes out of whack because you're like, wait a minute, let's just focus on Survivor. But the answer to your question is, so many choices this week. I have multiple entries in Survivor. I still don't know what I'm playing. I think one of them's going to be the Raiders, though. I think I'm pretty much decided that one of them's going to be the Raiders. Famous last words, but we'll see. Taking an 0-3 team that's less of a field goal favorite in Survivor. That's what it's come to. Chris Felica joins us. He's in Survivor. He's also at the top, or tied for the top, I believe tied at the top, of the college football pool over at William Hill, the college football contest. He is the Bear. From ESPN's College Game Day, Daily Wager, and of course, Stanford and Steve podcast. Stanford, Steve and the Bear podcast, I should say. How you doing, Chris?
You really want to take the Raiders? You really want to do that?
I don't know.
I get not wanting to use Green Bay if you have them available and you want to hold them because they have a lot of value down the road. But do you really, you mean, any of these teams that you opt to take, if it's not going to be the Packers, whether it's the Raiders, whether it's the Lions, whether it's the Steelers, all the teams of that ilk, like you're really rolling the dice there. If you want an interesting one, and again, it's rolling the dice as to how awful they looked on Sunday. You know, the 49ers. I know Trent Williams is playing, but Rams are just not
new.
They beat the Rams last year without Trent Williams, and they should have beaten them in the NFC Championship game. And are they going to play that poorly again? Like, that defense, I think, it could have a field day against that Rams offensive line. So if you really want to go super contrarian and roll the dice, maybe the 49ers is the way to go. But I think I'm just going to play it safe, and I'm just going to, you know, I have Green Bay on both entries. I'm going to take the big favorite home. They should beat New England regardless of who's playing quarterback. And I'll let all those other games just kind of play out.
What could possibly go wrong? Nothing.
Exactly. That's like my other what could possibly go wrong this week with the quintet of Oklahoma, Florida State, Clemson, Ole Miss, and Wisconsin. All 7 points. What could possibly go wrong keeping those teams down in college football just to win the game? I mean, that's a sure 6-point tease win, right?
Are you teasing or are you money line parlaying? What are you doing there?
I would actually rather take a money line parlay on the dogs. Mm. I'd rather take all five dogs to win two and outright. If you get two of them to win outright, you basically break it even. And if you get three, then you're in pretty good shape.
What's your record in the William Hill College Football Contest right now?
17-7.
Whew. Is that tops? Are you tied for the lead?
I'm tied for the lead, and last week I was 4-4 because there were a couple of games that I loved. I mean, the Mexico State I loved, and I liked UConn. There were games that I had in my column, and we talked about that I couldn't use in Will Hill because they were not on the sheet. So, of course, the games that I wound up using in Will Hill wound up lost, and the games that I had in the column wound up winning. But hey, I was up one game going into last week. Now I'm even, so it really didn't hurt me that much. And there's still a lot of time left, so I feel pretty good about this week.
Sorry, I texted you as Wazoo. You had texted me earlier. I'm so upset I didn't take Wazoo. And then the Knicks long touchdown pass for Oregon, and then the pick six. And I'm like, oh, you're going to be thrilled you didn't take Wazoo. And then Wazoo comes all the way back and scores.
And how much time is left in the game? How many seconds are we going to put on the clock for this? The clock just disappeared.
Well,
Jeff Trump. Yeah. There's 5 seconds.
Sure. I guess there's 5 seconds.
Whatever you say.
Such a boondoggle. Total boondoggle. Okay, what do you like best this week, then? You may have hinted at something.
I like Kentucky quite a bit against Ole Miss. Mark Stoops in this situation with the disrespect card. He lives for the spot. But at the same time, they have the better quarterback on the field than Levis. I think they got the better defense on the field as well. Certainly one that is going to be able to figure out how to stop the run. I mean, Jackson Dart has not been that great of a passer so far this year. Ole Miss has really been just running the ball with a whole bunch of different looks. And I think Stoops, being the defensive guy that he is, will really be able to figure out how to slow that down somewhat. So I do like Kentucky plus the points in that game. I like Utah laying, I think it's 10 now. In most places against Oregon State, and I get that it's a severe, how do you get up after blowing that game against USC last week for Oregon State? But it's also an on-the-field type of thing where I'm not sure the Beavers going on the road will be able to stand up to what's probably the best offensive line or one of the best offensive lines in the Pac-12 at that running game. I know Keith is out for Utah. It'll hurt him down the road, but I'm not sure it's necessarily a spot that they'll totally miss him and won't do a cost of the game this week. But I like Utah playing the points. I like UTSA tonight against Middle Tennessee as well. I mean, obviously, Middle with a massive underdog last week and beat Miami with a whole bunch of long scoring plays. Miami was terrible with injuries all over the place. And that was a great win for Middle. But you got to remember at the same time, this is a team that lost 44-7 and had 120 yards in a loss to James Madison. UTSA is a team that's very capable of scoring points. It's Frank Harris, the quarterback. Very physical defense. I think there's four out there. I think there's four out there as well. UTSA, I like them tonight. And I like Tulane tonight as well. They're catching 2.5 at Houston. I was high on Houston coming into the year. I thought they might be the team to beat in the American. But it just seems like something's going on there. Infighting amongst the team. The offensive line is terrible. Tulane's defense has been very good so far this year. They haven't given up anything more than 335 yards, it is, in any game. 2 weeks ago, we had it when they won in Manhattan. And, of course, predictably last week, come out flat and lose Southern Miss. Now they're on the road against one of the better teams in their league. I think Pratt and company will be up for that game. The other team in the American, Cincinnati, obviously, defending champion with the playoff last year. I think they're in trouble tomorrow against Tulsa. This number has come down, and I know some people that I respect quite a bit bet Tulsa at the opening. And even knowing that there's a chance that Davis Brin, their starting quarterback, might not play. I mean, the kid who came in, I think his name is Braxton, did okay. But Tulsa's a team, I think it's like the last 15 games they've been a dog. They've covered 13 of them. And three of them were massive lines against Cincinnati that they covered very easily. So I'm not sure this Bearcats team is nearly as good as it was last year. I think they'd be the more dangerous through the air with Bryant. But at the same time, Tulsa's just that unattractive, sexy-sounding team that just seems to play teams tough. And I think Tulsa catching 9.5 is a another one that I would look at.
I like it. Santos, we're going to put all those in the newsletter. That's a lot of games right there. He puts the thumbs up there. Let me ask you, I'm not trying to provoke any guest-on-guest crime here, but Dr. Bob earlier, he liked FSU laying points against Wake Forest, and one that I really like, he likes fading Texas A&M with Mississippi State.
I did not. Stanford State put Mississippi State in the column, and I thought about it. I still might do it. Look, A&M without Aeneas Smith is going to be a problem. If they have no twitch guys on the outside, I mean, Devon Achane obviously is legit, but that's an offense that is struggling mightily. And now you get an offense with Will Rogers in that passing game where that's kind of negate the strength of the A&M team, which is a pass rush. He's going to get the ball out quick and kind of offset that. Like I could totally see Mississippi State winning that game by double digits just because A&M is incapable of scoring points right now. And just to back up on that, I think once since Johnny Manziel left, which was what, 2013, I think was his last year, only once have they even beaten both Mississippi schools in the same year. So, this is a team everyone's expecting a national breakthrough, but they can't even take care of business against the Bulldogs and the Rebels. So, I'm with Dr. Bob there.
There you go. I'm with you both on that as well. Chris, we always appreciate it, man. Thanks for making the time. I know you're busy these days between Amazon on Thursday and college football on Saturday.
Absolutely. Just got in this morning, so we're good to go. Have a good weekend, everybody.
You too. He's down in South Carolina for the Clemson game, as a matter of fact. That's where they are for game day. You know who hasn't talked about football enough on this show? Me. Everybody else. I got thoughts. Survivor, teasers, plays next on A Numbers Game at Visa Esports.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Start your football season on the right foot by subscribing to VSiN Pro. Get full access to everything we do, including our daily picks at a glance recap of the top plays made by VSiN show hosts and guests, 24/7 video season prep, including our weekly college and pro football matchup guides covering every game all season long. Got our pro tools as well. That's our exclusive betting splits. You may be familiar with that. Pro tips updated every hour with actionable insights to help your betting game. Sign up on our discounted football special and get VSiN Pro access to everything we do from now through the Super Bowl for only $175, or save 50% off the monthly price with an annual subscription. And bet smarter all year long. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe for all your options and become part of the Sports Betting Network. It's Gil Alexander. Specky still to come in studio momentarily, but Matt Santos, I got football thoughts. Everybody else giving their picks. I got contest plays to make. I got Survivor plays to make. You are in Millions, but not Survivor?
Correct, yeah. I'm in Millions, yeah.
What do you think you're playing, Millions?
Have any off the top of my head, I like the Rams.
Yeah.
Colts, -3.5.
Me too. Oh, man, we're on the same.
I'm leaning Baltimore.
Yeah, I'm not involved there.
And I'm blanking off the other two.
So, I think what here's the thing. Again, for the deep dive into the NFL, again, I point everybody to the Megapod on Thursdays, which is rotating guests, and we go through three best bets, everybody on the show, sides and totals. We also do our teaser of the week, our survivor plays, which game you want no part of on a side perspective. If you've lived in a bizarre world and you had to play every game, but you got one pass. And, of course, what's the big favorite most likely to lose outright? Usually, when we do the big favorite most likely to lose outright, we're talking about 6.5-point spreads or greater. There's not enough of those this week. So it's complicated in every respect if you're trying to handicap this. But I think in terms of my – so Survivor, let's just start there. Let's just get that out of the way for once, once and for all, I should say. Honestly, every pick is flawed. The Lions were the obvious early week pick, but there's too many injuries. I don't know if I can roll with a team that may not have Swift or Amon-Ra St. Brown or Hockenson or all these guys. Then there's the Chargers. The Chargers may yet end up being a pick, but Justin Herbert's got to play. You got to have confidence that he's healthy. I may end up having an entry on the Chargers with zero confidence whatsoever. People are like, well, don't you want to save him for what? Because I just don't have any confidence in them. Now, obviously, the Packers are going to be the biggest choice for everybody. I'm avoiding them. I do think I will have one entry on the Raiders. So, yeah, some combination of Raiders, Chargers, and I don't know. I'm not taking the Giants against the Bears. Should I take the Vikings against Andy Dalton and the Saints? The bottom line is I don't know yet what I'm going to do on three entries. I have no idea. As far as Millions, It troubles me. First of all, let me just say this. So on the Megapod, we do the best bets, three best bets. I'm 7-2 through 3 weeks on the Megapod. But in Circa Millions, we do five best bets, obviously. I'm 9-6. So it makes sense. The further you have to pick out, the worse you ought to be doing. So getting five picks this week, it sort of troubles me that I haven't had difficulty coming up with the five every week, which typically in the NFL, you're like, oh, what am I going to pick fourth and fifth, right? So I was 4-1 week one, and I was 3-2, and I was 2-3. This is not a good line on a graph. I'm just saying. But I think what I'm doing is I think I'm taking the Vikings in London. Did not touch yesterday's game. I think I am taking your Colts because, again, I'm going to rely on what my pre-flop conviction was on the Colts during the preseason. I'm just going to go with that thought of the Colts and not let these first three games influence me too much, and I will lay the 3.5. I liked it on guessing lines. A lot of this is about guessing lines instincts on Monday. And by the way, the line has come towards the Cardinals, right? The line is slowly drifting towards the Rams. So those guests, some of those guesses that seem laughable, oh, my God, you picked the wrong team that was in favorite. Let's wait a few days. Sometimes those picks aren't those guesses aren't so bad. So I think I'm taking Colts minus 3.5 there against the Titans. I do think I'm taking the Cardinals. But again, this is the thin line because of that question that we ask on the Megapod. What's the game you want no part of? The thin line between answering Cardinals Panthers and making the Cardinals an actual pick, it's so thin this year. I want no part of that whatsoever. Oh, it's a contest pick. I may even bet the Cardinals in the end. By the way, they're contest picks. Full disclosure, I haven't bet any of these yet. I will have most of these in bets, if not all, by the end of day here today. Raiders are going to be a play for me. I thought that line was short. It remains short. I thought that was short on guessing lines. And I think the Rams. I had the Rams favored when I guessed that on Monday morning. So I think it's Vikings, Colts, Cardinals, Raiders, and Rams for me in the contest. Unless I find out something right in between now and then, contest deadline tomorrow, 4 p.m. Pacific, injury-wise, that would take me off one of those. But I think that's the story there. And as far as teasers of the week, again, you look for the Stanford Wong teaser, pseudonym, John Ferguson, Southern California, real name. I think based on what I just said, right, if I like the Rams and I like the Cardinals, I think the Cardinals are drifting towards them being a favorite. The answer yesterday on the Megapod was, well, then I got to go Cardinals or Rams or Wong teaser, get them through the 3-7. But right now, what are you seeing the Cardinals at currently? You may not be able to do that anymore. So again, you got to have the conviction and then just follow through on it on these. What's your favorite? You know, so we're still showing the Cardinals as a one-point dog here. So you can't quite get them through the 7 in the 6-point parameter. But those are the five Circa Millions plays. And Survivor's just the real mind meld. Again, you get to the point where it's like, I told Derek Stevens last week, I said, I had all these theories. We talked about it several times this week on the show about how you have one thing in theory, but then when you actually have reality, right? Jason Weingarten's Michael Harris, National League Rookie of the Year bet. Well, he can make close to six figures on it. So in theory, you know, if we're theoretical about it, he shouldn't hedge, right? Harris is a big favorite. He's probably going to win. He shouldn't hedge because there's really, like, has anything changed? Why give away equity? But on the other hand, there's reality. It's like, boy, this would really suck because there's people betting on an award. This would really suck if somehow they gave it to Spencer Strider. So shouldn't I at least not lose money on this? So just saying, there's the best laid plans, and then there's when you're actually put the screws to it, you have to make a decision. And for me with Survivor, totally different thing, but kind of the same, which is, you know, before the season, I'm like, yeah, you're playing to win. And by the way, I do think game theory this week is not to play the Packers, so I will still maintain that. But before the season, you know, and I was saying, it's poorly named. It shouldn't be Survivor. You're playing to win. People are too locked into the you're trying to survive. It's like that thought exercise I did with Jeff Parlay, and I'm not picking on Parlay, but during Thanksgiving last year, where I was like, hey, the Cowboys are playing the Raiders. If I told you that 99 people of the remaining 100 entries were playing the Cowboys today, wouldn't you take the Raiders? He goes, no, I couldn't do it. I was like, Jeff, how many times in your life do you have a chance to win $6 million? You have to be able to crap out. You have to be willing to crap out. The object is to win, not to survive. And so what I'm saying is that now faced with the uncertainty that is the NFL this year, though, after it was so apparent after 2 weeks let alone one, maybe even, but certainly after 2 weeks, how absolutely ridiculous. Pete Rozelle's dream of parody has never been more tried and true. And so this notion of, yeah, I'm going to throw all my remaining entries on this one team. Man. Then I compromised, right? I was like, I'll do two on, you know, I had three left, right? I lost Tennessee, two entries on Tennessee the first week. I'll play one team on two of my remaining entries and then another on the third. So it's kind of my preseason philosophy on it, but not exactly. And then by last week, I completely thrown it. I was telling Derek Stevens, I was like, I have no confidence in any of these teams. I think I'm going 1-1-1. I've never done that before in my life, playing Survivor. But I think circumstances, right? Theory is one thing, and then the reality of having to play it the most optimal way hits you, and you're like, yeah, I can no longer subscribe to that theory. But now, can I come up with three? It is a bad feeling, though, if you're like, well, I played three different teams, so I'm more likely to drop off an entry, right? So it's a complete mind, you know what I'm talking about, on these. You can fill in the blank however you want. So I don't know. Then, of course, the other big thing again tonight is beyond football, this Braves-Mets series, if I may just make a minute of that, because we made a lot about it this week. I am heavily invested in the Braves winning the National League East. And again, tonight it is DeGrom against Fried. Tomorrow it is Max Scherzer against Kyle Wright, the 20-game winner for the Braves. And then Sunday, because it looks like all these games are now going to be played when they're supposed to, Sunday it's going to be Chris Bassitt against Charlie Morton. Mets are -128 favorites tonight. DeGrom on the hill, as I said, against Max Fried. Leaflet, Max Fried. Mets sweep, it's over. Mets win 2 of 3. It is virtually over because the Mets' magic number would be 1 at that point heading into the final weekend series. They're playing the Nats. Braves would play the Marlins. If the Braves sweep, the Braves are up 2 games, and they're in the catbird seat. If the Braves win 2 out of 3, the only other option here remaining, then they're tied heading into the final 3 games of the season. But remember, the Mets have the tiebreaker. This is what makes baseball great. Like, you can go a whole baseball season not pay attention, but you gotta love this kind of series this weekend, and certainly you gotta love the postseason, which is as crunched up as it has ever been this year, with the extra series, the wild card best of three happening. And as Adam Burke said earlier, the real impact of this is not only, of course, who wins the division, but the loser gets their entire pitching rotation kind of messed up as they try to navigate an extra potentially 3 games prior to the division series, whereas the winner gets to just sort of chill for several days. Gonna be a fun weekend. Spanky on the other side, right here at VSiN.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The NHL season is almost here, and our hockey betting experts are ready for all the action. It's our VSiN Hockey Season Prep Guide, available now with strategies and best bets for the season ahead. Get in-depth analysis from all of our hockey experts. That includes Andy McNeil, everybody's favorite Canadian, with predictions for teams and players, win totals, daily betting tips, season-long trends to watch, plus 3 things every new NHL bettor should know. The guide is a must-have with key insights and data for both avid hockey bettors and those new to the sport. Give yourself an edge this season and get the VSiN Hockey Season Prep Guide by becoming a VSiN Pro subscriber today. You can do that at VSiN.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander. Thrill to always be here when people roll into the studio. It's one of the great parts about doing a numbers game. And this is a real special one because he is in town to do multiple things. We can get into that here momentarily. But he is, among other things, the creator of Bet Bash and Bet Bash 2, perhaps Bet Bash 3 in the future as well. And the creator of Spank Odds as well, which we'll talk about. Everybody knows him. It's Spanky. How you doing, man?
Pretty good, brother. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for being here. The name of the podcast for everybody, too, because it's great.
Yeah, Be Better Betters.
Be Better Betters.
Yeah.
E-R-O-R-S.
Yes.
Be Better Betters. Yeah. How have you, so let's start there. How has that experience been for you? Because you were not a broadcaster before that.
Absolutely not. And I was just here for this last segment, and Gil, you're just unbelievable at what you do, brother. Like, I can't, you know, for you to do that monologue, just, you know, it's just incredible. I find it so difficult to be able to maintain a thought process for 5 minutes, and you're over there running 12, 15 minutes, and just
let's hope I said something worthwhile.
No, it was great.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, running the podcast is okay. You know, I have guests on, which is great because then I go back and forth. But there's sometimes, you know, I go on a 40-minute rant or an hour rant where I just, you know, kind of give my thoughts on what I do, and that's a little bit more difficult because I'm in a room just talking to myself, and you know, just I'm not used to that really. Right. But you kind of, I figure just speak my mind and just be honest and just, you know, kind of describe what, you know, what goes on being a pro sports bettor. And it's, you know, got a lot of good reception, and you know, I've been doing it now for almost going on the fourth year. So I've been doing it for 3 years now. It's been great. I got a lot of good guests on, a lot of guests from the underworld, and
yes,
and a lot of guests from the regulated market. So, you know,
we like the underworld, though.
Yeah, yeah,
do.
Of course.
No,
well,
we do.
To turn a blind eye to that is just not being real. You know,
yeah.
You have to get that perspective. And you know, guys that, you know, that won't, you know, share their real names, like Ribs or a Tugboat or, you know, just Tiger. You know, guys, that's just how it is in the business.
Yeah, I like it. And I won't ask you because, you know, it's like, oh, what was your favorite guest of all time? We can't do that because it will offend anybody else. But I guess we could say our mutual friend Chris Bruno was one of the all-timers telling his story about how he had to give proper bets while in prison just so that he could sort of survive the day kind of thing.
Yeah, that was easily, you know, I've had a lot of great podcast guests, but if there's one that a movie could have been made about it was Chris Bruno. Chris Bruno's life is just incredible. I urge everybody to go listen to that episode. And, you know, it's just incredible. He had to, just to give you a brief synopsis of that, he had the corrections officer said, listen, I'll put you up to the good unit. If you help me fill out this five team ticket, and he was betting $5 on it, and this is the easily, you know, this is his biggest parlay of his life because he's in for 3 years. I think this might have been a year in, so his next 2 years are either going to be living in luxury or living, you know, and you know, we had a conversation. He called his wife. They three-wayed me in, and you know, essentially we're just, you know, looking at what line moved the most and see what, you know, just use a basic strategy. And the guy went 5 for 5.
Wow.
And the next day he had a knock on his door at 6 a.m. You're moving up. And, you know.
And here I am thinking, like, oh, should I pick the Raiders and Survivor? Like, that's pressure.
Right? Yeah. No.
Why are you, so I know as much as I would love to think you came into town just to hang out here on the show, why are you in town?
So a couple of things. I'm here. I've been invited to this prestigious event going on called the Blackjack Ball. It's my first time I've ever been invited to this. It's kind of a secret gathering of the world's best blackjack players and other gamblers, and somehow they let me inside. I'm not a good blackjack player by any means, but so that was fun. We're going to have that Saturday night. The location, of course, is undisclosed. Can't really reveal that.
Yeah.
But and I'm also here to kind of, I'm talking to the Circa crew to try to work out the kinks to plan Bet Bash 3, which will happen sometime next year. We're going to try to work the dates out, and you know, nothing's written in stone. We're still working it all out.
I'm not blowing smoke here. Bet Bash 2, and this is from a guy who attended the Sloan Sports Analytics Conference at MIT for like 6 years. The best conference ever. If you have any love of sports betting or interested in the subject, and everybody who's listening to this program or watching this program is, it's the greatest collection of people in one spot, period.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
So no pressure for Bet Bash 3, but I'm just saying.
Bet Bash 2, it's crazy. It's funny you say that because Bet Bash 2, I don't think it can be topped.
I don't
honestly
think it can be. Yeah.
We're going to try, though. You know what I mean? You always try.
Please don't make it too big, though.
I know. That's the thing. You know,
because that's what happened to Sloan.
You're right. And so, you know, obviously, you know, Bet Bash 2, I took a financial loss on it, and that's okay to take a hit. You know what I mean? We're trying to, you know, at the end of the day, you want to make it great content, but also you want to make it financially viable where I don't have to make a ton of money, but at the same time, if we're putting all this work in, you know, everybody has a right to earn. I'm not allergic to money. So we want to make it profitable and also kind of make it so that it's small enough that everybody can interact.
I've heard that about you, that you're not allergic to money.
Yeah.
By the way, are you allowed to sort of give a hint as to that, just circling back to the blackjack thing, because I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you, any clue as to how much, can you give a hint as to what's on the line there? Or a prize or anything?
No, it's not a tournament or anything like that. It's just a gala.
Oh, you just hang out.
Yeah, just a gala. It's like a dinner.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
They have contests and stuff like that.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
Again, this is my first time, so I don't even know what to expect.
Oh, okay.
I'm just hearing this third hand from people that have already been there. But yeah, it's one of these things in which it's hard to get an invitation, and they kind of opened it up a little bit more this year, and somehow, somewhere, I got in the door. So, you know, I'll definitely be able to share. Obviously, you know, some people that are there obviously need to remain nameless, but for the most part, it's going to be a good time, I think.
All right, I want to get to where you're kind enough to stay with us for a couple segments here. So I want to get to like a day in the life of Spanky. Like what you know, for those unfamiliar with what you do betting wise, when you wake up in the morning, when you go to bed at night, like what's your day like? And by the way, from sport to sport, what's your day like? We'll get into that. But first, let's talk about Spank Odds, because this is your latest thing that you've done. SpankOdds.com for anybody who wants just sort of static information on the subject, how you can get Spank Odds. First of all, how has it gone so far for you? Are you excited with what's happened?
Yeah, absolutely. So Spank Odds is an odds aggregate software in which you were able to see the lines from all different sports books all around the world in real time. Prop markets and all different sports, football, hockey, tennis, basketball, NASCAR, you name it, golf. And, you know, we just launched a month ago. It's going well. We had a little bit of a hiccup early on. Spank Odds is something that my office uses on a daily basis. It's an internal tool that I decided to be able to reach, to make it so that people can use it and to be able to kind of share it with the public. It's free for now. I don't know when I'm going to start charging. I kind of made an announcement that we're going to be free till the Super Bowl at least. So, you know, sign up. You'll be able to get an account within 24 hours, spankodds.com. Check it out. We have live injury updates. We know, have a whole injury team working on it. Kind of get an inner workings on how we have, you know, find ways. It's an information game for us, and, you know, we're able to kind of share that with everybody. And I've gotten a lot of places, you know, a lot of bookmakers love it. A lot of bookmakers in town have signed up. Bookmakers in faraway places have accounts, and they love it as well.
So I think, man, you may have already somewhat answered this, or at least partially answered this to this point. If someone is like, okay, that's awesome, Spanky, you have this Spank Odds. What separates what you're doing at Spank Odds from everything else that has been like this or of that same ilk, if you will, through the years?
So given my 20-plus years of being in the business, I'm able to get sportsbook feeds. I'm able to get, you know, lines from sportsbooks in faraway places that not everybody can get. I'm able to get live feeds from a lot of places, and I'm able to also have the best injuries. When it comes to injuries, my office, you know, we're notorious for being first and to get the information fast, and we're going to be sharing that. So that's kind of my competitive advantage, in that I'm getting a lot of different line sets, and we do a lot of different math behind it to kind of, you know, a best line column where you'll be able to just spot what the best line is on all your columns. So if somebody's shopping around, they'll be able to find out what the best line was, middle alerts, scalp alerts, limit change alerts, which is unheard of in the business. Nobody has that, where you could find out when Circa or a BetCris or a Pinnacle, when they increase or decrease their limits. It's instant. You set alerts for you'll be able to find out when a limit goes up and down. And that's very important find out how sharp the line is when you know when a limit moves up and down. So it's all these different things that professionals use. These are tools that we use. You know, the bells and whistles we put on there are all applicable, and they're all, you know, real tools.
So let me just ask you, you do all these things, right? We're showing on the screen for those watching at VSiN.com, the VSiN app, you know, how, you know, what the screen looks like. By the way, when Michael Craig from Right Angle Sports comes on and releases a pick, we're all looking at our Spank Odds page and seeing it light up. You do all these things, Bet Bash and the podcast, and now you're doing Spank Odds. And, of course, you're still betting. Of course. What do you enjoy the most of all of them? Does it still come back to the betting?
Yeah, so the betting will always be my number one business. That's what drives everything. My personal, you know, I have Luke, Chinese Mike, my team. They're the ones that are running my betting office. I personally haven't placed a bet in a very long time. I'm kind of, you know, do a lot of the tech side on the back end, and I do, you know, stuff like this. So I'm really not doing the betting personally, but my betting office is always what's financing a lot of these side businesses or these side projects that I'm doing. And hopefully, you know, you throw crap against the wall, something might stick.
Well, let's find out what a day in the life of Spanky looks like from sport to sport. We'll do that on the other side. Spanky in studio right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like free bets. It's never been easier to join the action on the new BetMGM app, featuring a fresh redesign with improved features and quicker navigation. planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM resorts located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. BetMGM Rewards, sports betting's premier loyalty program, including exclusive offers, incredible experiences, and valuable perks. When you wager with BetMGM, sign up with BetMGM or log in today to take advantage of BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. It's Gil Alexander on a Friday morning. Everybody getting in their football bets. By the way, Matt Santos, pro tip of the hour, get spank odds. That's your pro tip for the hour. Men, don't color your hair. That's another pro tip, but we're going with the spank odds. Get spank odds. That's your pro tip of the hour. We have one every hour on VSiN across every show, so that means at least 20 every day. They're all available for VSiN Pro subscribers only. VSiN.com, where you can sort them by sport and by show. By the way, Lou Finicaro, frequent guest on the network, who does playoff hockey for us, does UFC, he texts in, Spanky, he said, spank odds for UFC, awesome. He's used it for that,
yes,
as well.
Yeah, we have UFC, and you know, we're again, we're trying to increase all of our feeds again, trying to, you know, there's a lot of bit of kinks and bugs. Hey, this line is wrong, this line is wrong. Again, we're just slowly and surely trying to make everything, you know, it's impossible to be perfect. But we're trying to get as close to perfection as possible. That's just going to take time.
And just full disclosure, when we were off air, you're busy fielding, not corroborated yet, but you're busy fielding to see because we think the quarterback might be injured for a certain team in college football.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. There's, you know, we're getting injuries, and my guys, you know, I'm part of an injury chat, and I see things coming across, and we downgraded him to questionable, the quarterback. So, you know, we just don't know. It's if you have spank odds,
yeah,
you'll be able to find out. Okay. So you get ahead of the line moves.
So there are going to be some people who are listening to the show for the first time are like, all right, I understand. He does a podcast. I'm looking forward to that. He does spank odds. He does Bet Bash, the great conference. But what I think what the best sort of thing we can sort of convey is, what does the day in the life look like for you? And does it change from sport to sport?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, in the football season, you know, it's more of a babysitting thing. What happens in football is, you know, we get different power ratings from different handicappers that we employ or that we outsource that are part of us. And then we kind of want to estimate now where the line is going to go. And that's when you kind of determine, you know, am I going to bet the game early and because I know this line is going to just go up or go down and I want to get ahead of the line move? Or do we want to wait thinking, you know what, it's probably a good time because there's a little bit of opposition, and if we want to get down on a certain side, we want to wait and maybe it might overmove so that we could find an edge that way. And then you're just monitoring the positions all week long. It's kind of, I look at it as like it's a long campaign battle. It's you know, it's just for the whole week. You're just monitoring positions, checking out injury news as it's so important. Look at all the practices that happen throughout the week. And coaches conference, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So then you kind of, you know, you want to just be ahead of the news. And sometimes, you know, like in the stock market, the old adage, buying a room or selling the news, you know, you could see lines dipping in certain ways. And then you kind of know, you know, most likely this guy is not going to play. That's why this line's moving. And then when he's announced as out, sometimes there's an overreaction. And then you know, hey, wait a minute, you're supposed to sell on the news because it's already reflected in that line. So you, spotting over moves, understanding on how to maximize the amount you want to get down. We talked about this on a previous show, Gil,
yep,
where you want to maximize your line value and also maximize the amount of money you get down. It's you know, we're betting big here, so.
That's so much of what you do, right?
Yes.
Your North Star is, I want to maintain these accounts.
Yes.
So I don't want to go too off the grid here with just pounding something. Let me go back to a previous comment you made about football here, too, and sort of we try to figure out which way the lines are going to move. What would you say your success rate is in predicting those correctly?
We're well over 80%, probably 85%.
Wow.
On line movement. Yeah, and if, you know, again, we're trying to get – that's a strive. We're striving to get the most accurate line movement. Of course, that's obviously not winners, in case anybody doesn't understand that. Just because you predict line movement doesn't mean you can
still has to happen on the field.
Exactly. Yeah. So but yeah, it's if you know line movement, you're a step ahead of the game, and then you kind of, you know, you have options, and you put yourself, as my buddy Tiger would say, in a powerful position. If you have a lot of minus three built up and a line's five, if you wanted, you could sit on the minus three. You could buy a little bit back. You know, you could, if a buddy likes the piece, you could kind of trade pieces with him. He'll say, listen, can you get me any minus four, lines five? They're like, okay, sure, we help each other out. He might give me some of his that I didn't get much on. So again, it just we're always just helping. You know, we're in a group of people. Again, you know, you're just trying to maximize your profits, maximize the line value. Sometimes, you know, manipulation is a key. You know, let's just be honest.
Yeah.
You know, if you have to manipulate a line, especially off a key number.
And let's just make the point, too. You are not going to, for those who are like, well, I could never, Spanky is not necessarily representative of the average sports bettor here, right? Like, you are a very unique, you have a, you know, very unique type of bettor. You have a very unique network. And so this is just a glimpse into, you know, a very specific case study of a very prominent sports bettor. If someone is listening to that and they say, oh, wow, 80 to 85%, he gets it right in terms of line movement, how could I get to that level one day? Do you think it's easy for someone? How long does that take, do you think?
Well, you know, initially I would just be watching, you know, screens, you know, an odd screen, just like Spank Odds. And then slowly but surely, you know, you just build a network, an information network, and then you start understanding. And then you start, you know, dealing, you know, I deal with some of the biggest syndicates, sports betting syndicates around the world. Not everybody could do it, and it took me, you know, two decades to build
this
up.
Two decades, yeah.
So this is not, you know,
you're not
you
doing
can't...
it by week seven of the NFL
season. It's impossible.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a while, and I'm not trying to portray that, you know, we're anything special. It's just that we work hard and we built this network, and that's what it comes down to. Hard work pays off eventually, and you know, it's my guys run a solid. You know, we run a tight ship, and we do well for ourselves. And you know, this is it's a great business once you get to that level. But I would not advise anybody thinking that they become a pro sports bettor today. It's just, you know, when you're starting from the ground up, it's not easy.
If your child expresses interest, what do you say?
I tell them, if you're smart enough to be a pro sports bettor, you could probably go into another field and make 10 times, 20 times, 100 times more money. Get out of this business.
Without the guardrails.
Without the guardrails and without having to meet people in a back room and ask for your money, without getting handed a paper bag.
Is that, yes.
Yeah, you know, so it's just, it's you know, and my kids, you know, they grew up in a suburb, so the last thing I want my kid to do is meet somebody on the corner of 57th and 6th with a paper bag. It just, you know, it's just, no.
So that's football. NFL and college football have a meter to them, right? It's a week-to-week thing.
Yes.
How does that differ with now a sort of day-to-day sport?
Yeah, so like a basketball. Basketball is just like it's a daily war. Everything's different. The slate is pretty much clean. And, you know, you wake up, you find out what's happening, you look at the injuries, but the injury timeline is short in basketball. And then with NBA, it's all injuries. So you want to find out who's, you know, LeBron James essentially is questionable every single game.
It's all injuries and DFAs, right? Like just rest days.
Exactly.
Load management and that kind of thing.
Exactly.
Right?
You know, it's a different sport. You know what I mean? You know, again, everybody can talk about different eras. If Michael Jordan was going to sit out on the game, he would be on his deathbed back in the day. In this day, you know,
true.
LeBron James is questionable every single day. And he could just decide not to play, and that's that. So, you know, and these things affect the line. And guys, and it's good for us. There's a lot more line movement, and we could get the best of the number. So that's good. We're on top of that. You know, with NBA and then with college basketball, of course, lines are just moving all over the place. So it's just a constant. Bookmakers just can't keep up. There's just too many games.
Is there a sport that gives you more trouble than others, long-term winning-wise?
Well, NFL is very hard to beat for us, very hard. And I'm not talking about proposition wagers. I'm not talking about their derivatives like first halves and quarters. I'm talking about full-game NFL sides, even totals for the most part. Very hard, very difficult for us to beat. If we break even on the NFL, we're very happy.
But that's part of what we were talking about before about sort of maintaining accounts, that you'll make those plays just as a sort of, hey, you can have this back from us.
Absolutely, exactly. You know, Chris Andrews here, you know, when I was betting one weekend, he was giving me good limits on college basketball because I was giving him big NFL pops, and he recognized that. And, you know, it's why I scratch your back, you scratch mine type thing. You know, with NFL, you have to – if you're living in America and if you're not giving your bookmaker NFL work – most likely you're going to be shown the door. Guys like to just go for the juggler, bet props only. You take that strategy, and that's okay. That's a strategy some people take, but they don't, you know, they'll lose their accounts in a week or two.
Yeah.
They'll get shown the door. So we like to think of a more long-term strategy, develop a relationship if we can, so that we have that longevity, and then we should grind out a bigger profit at the end of the week.
Last thing, because we have like 30 seconds here.
Yeah.
The opposite of that, is there a sport where you're just like, just every year, ATM machine?
College basketball, easily.
Early part of the season more than afterwards?
Oh, yeah, November, December college basketball is if we were just in my office, if we had November, December college basketball every single month, we could probably, you know, give me a couple more years of that and we're okay.
and you might wrap it up at that point.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, it's unbelievable.
Spanky, everybody, thank you for being in studio. I appreciate it, man.
Thank you for having me, Gil. I really appreciate it,
You're
brother.
The best. At Spanky on Twitter, which is a whole story in and of itself, how he got Spanky. We'll tell that another time again. SpankOdds.com, BetBash, and, of course, Be Better Betters. That's the podcast, wherever podcasts are distributed. Right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. The Lombardi Line is next. Enjoy.